started. So thanks for coming out today to the printing seminar with Drake Eyestone. We'll talk about all your printing needs. And with that, we do have tools 20% off through today. So if you find out you need some new printers or loppers, that'll be a good time to get those. I'll pass around our sign-up sheet if you want to get on our newsletter list. We send out weekly emails with sales and events, and then our monthly newsletter. So I'll pass that around, and I'll turn it over to Greg.
Thank you, Tyler. Good morning. I've finally figured out how to get an audience. Have bad weather. Too cold to do anything. There's some handouts, similar but different. I'll just, if you want one, take one of each. Just a list of shrubs and time to prune them and shape, and we'll talk a little bit about it in the slides here. Question, is this pruning? I guess what I'm really looking at is maybe this picture, and I would say that's shearing, and I think that, you know, you can have a choice on what you want to do, but this becomes, looks good the first year maybe, but then comes a real challenge to keep it plant looking good, because when we do pruning, you're actually wounding the plant, and it's going to have a response. And the response from this type of pruning becomes more of a challenge, I think, later on down the road, because you're going to get a lot more branching. You're going to have some, if you don't kind of give it a pyramid shape, the lower portion's not going to get the light. Those are going to, stems and leaves are going to soften and not be useful. And so that's going to be a challenge. So, you know, you can do this, but just realize that on down the road, it's going to probably create more work for you. Something on a more of a deciduous basis, that's quick pruning, but again, it's going to create a lot of branching patterns, and on down the road, it may become more of a challenge. So that is one style of pruning, but that's not what we're really going to suggest as far as the type of pruning here today. Is pruning necessary? If we can do a good selection in our plant, identifying which ones are going to fit in our landscape and function the way we want, hopefully we're getting ones that aren't going to require a lot of at least heading back and getting them smaller. So if we do a good job on plant selection, your pruning probably will be reduced. So I would put a good emphasis on researching on your plants that you're going to install into your landscape. Some require very little. We had an example of boxwood. In our environment, we still have varieties that may have some injury from the environment, whether it's rapid temperature change, which can be true on all of our plants, or desiccation when there's not a lot of available moisture from the soil because it's frozen. And the plants are still respiring and losing moisture. Oftentimes we see it on sides of the plant where the wind is blowing. Wintertime, maybe northwest side of your plant. I don't know what direction your plant. So you may see more winter burn, if you will, just the desiccation on the north or northwest side. And we're just going to live with it until springtime, and hopefully it'll kind of grow and cover that up. But some of these don't require a whole lot of pruning. Why do you grow some of these plants? Probably for their flower production, or at least might as well enjoy them if they have that as a characteristic. The handout talks about when to prune some of them. And you can prune them anytime. There'll be a slide here that says don't do it in the late summer. You're not going to kill your plant. There's one type of pruning that kills your plant. Right at the ground. So if you're doing that, there may be a challenge for that plant to come back. But otherwise, timing of pruning is just for enhancement, enjoyment of the plant itself. Tools. I'm a big tool person. I didn't start out that way. Growing up, we always had the wrong tool for the job and hated gardening because it was a lot of work. But if you have the right tool, it's kind of enjoyable doing that. So depending on what function you're trying to perform out in the landscape as you're pruning, different tools. The other item you may want to invest in is a sharpener. So you can have the best tool in the world, but at some point maybe it gets a little too dull and you want to make sure you're still having fun. And so make sure you get a sharpener and just follow the angle. Is it sharp? Well, test it. If it's pruning off well, then it's sharp. If it's not pruning well, do some more. So, everybody's got a hand pruner. I like this one, different colors, because for some reason I seem to lose them. Even with a holster, I seem to lose pruners. Same sharpening on the loppers. Saws are good. I like, because I do mostly shrub pruning, and the stems seem to be right next to each other, and the lopper, you can't get it in there. And so a saw becomes a very functional tool for me. This is a bonsai saw, but just thin blade is what I'm looking at here, so I can get in between the stems to try and cut those out. Questions on tools? 20% off. I grabbed one of these.
Is there a difference between live branch and dead branch pruning? Is the pruner the same or?
Same pruner. The dead branch will either be a lot harder to cut or just snaps off. So a live tissue has a certain amount of resistance, but the dead one may be really hard or may just be real brittle and snap right off. So you can just kind of use your hands and go through there if you're concerned about whether it's alive or dead. If you have a thumbnail, you can. If it's thin enough bark and you can scrape, you know, the dead's going to be dry and hard, whereas the live will be some cream tissue and moist there. Everybody have one of these? You get this and you strap it on your stomach here, because a lot of our pruning, actually, you're kind of really on the ground. So that's probably the biggest challenge of pruning, other than getting up for some of us, is laying on the ground to do the pruning. Now, maybe knee pads will get you pretty close, but a lot of our pruning is done at ground level.
On printers, do you prefer bypass printers or anvil type?
I don't see any anvil type up here. I had a pair once I found on the street. I think somebody didn't like them and they just threw them out the window. So the anvil is just where there's one blade that comes down onto a straight piece of metal, and so it crushes the back of the stem a little bit. And I think that's a little harder, actually, to use than the scissor or bypass type that all these pictures show, and it's everything that's up here. This kind of goes back to my point that if we have the right plant in the right place, there's going to be minimal pruning requirements. So again, just if you need help on selection of plants, Blueville can help you. We have resources on K-State Research and Extension. We can help you with plant material. I don't know if Andrew knows. There's a new lilac called Baby Kim. I don't know if Blueville's carrying that yet, but so... Miss Kim, which is one of my favorite lilacs. Everybody has one, right? But, you know, it gets this big, and maybe that's what you need. But Baby Kim's going to be this big. So, again, genetically, the plant's going to function maybe better in your landscape depending on the space that you have. So what is pruning? Pruning is the removal of a part of a plant for the benefit of all the plant. What a great definition. But we do want to be trying to minimize the damage to a plant, because when we prune, we are causing an injury. Everybody know how plants talk to themselves? At least we think we know. So apical dominance, or that very tip bud has the hormones that suppresses the, should suppress all these other buds, so that that's always the longest point. But at some point, maybe you don't want that, and you need to get the plant bushier, if you will. And so if you prune out the top of your plant, the hormonal balance will change, and then therefore, since that's the top, I prune it correctly. Hormone balance will change. This will become now the one that controls the branching down here. And just aware. So if that tip dies for some reason, you're going to have a different structure of your plant's going to start forming. Just try to fill in. Sometimes you get two trying to compete and you have double leaders, and maybe that's what you want, but typically not what you want for the growth pattern. But apical dominance is a thing in plants, and just be aware that the tip controls the rest of the plant. So here's an example that I have where there's two competing leaders, and you got to decide which one is your favorite, which one you're wanting to have, and so suppress the other one by coming down and branching that off. If you saw my Facebook post, this was my tree, and I went ahead and suppressed this branch for now. And since this is annual pruning, or at least evaluating the plant each year, we'll see how it grows this year, and then this next year I can reevaluate and see what I want to do, if I need to do some more adjusting with pruning. So, again, the terminal bud at the end controls the rest of these lateral buds. Everybody looked at a stem lately? We got leaf scars. This is the girdly scar, or that's how much the plant grew the last year. So you should see a little ring where that bud was down here last year, so to speak. So you can see how much growth you're getting each year. You know, a new plant, you probably want to see a lot of growth to fill in, but when it's 10 years old and you don't want to do a lot of pruning, you probably don't want to see a lot of growth. Another picture. Flower buds typically are the fatter ones, and the others are just leaf. So if you're small buds, typically leaf, bigger buds, flowers. In this example, there's leaf buds at the terminal end, flower buds back farther. This viburnum has flower buds at the tips more so. And so just an awareness. So why are you growing this plant? You want the flowers, so if you're wanting to, if you need to go in there and prune, if you want to prune back here, you're removing flowers. Plant's not going to care a whole lot. It wants to flower and produce, reproduce. But smaller buds are just leaf ones. So if you have a choice and you want flowers, you may want to keep the bigger buds around. A little more botany. We've talked about the terminal buds. Buds, inner nodes, and a node. Node is the same as a bud, if you will. But this inner node area, on a lot of deciduous plants, there are what's called latent buds. So if this all got cut off, you may get some new buds forming that we can't really visually see. So there may be new buds forming after you've had some damage or pruning back. Or it may not, and it may just be a dead stem, so to speak. And that probably is not what we want to have long term anyway. There's a couple seats up here if you want to sit. Just FYI. Pruning with a purpose. To maintain the plant health, probably a balance between some growth and some flower production. That's really important in fruit production, but maybe just for your ornamental pleasure as well. Improve the quality of flowers, correct or improve the shape if need be. One of the handouts I had on the back page, these forms that they genetically have. Depends on the plant itself. I think it's the green one. So you can either work with the genetics of the plant, or you can shape it into a ball if you want to, but you just understand the plant genetically wants to have its own shape. So this handout here, if everybody got one, there's a lot of variability in plants, species, but we'll just look at the top one, the Glossyabilia. We prefer to do it when it's dormant. That just means that it does produce, and its form is a round form. It naturally looks like that. Who grows Glossyabilia? It has some winter damage. Mine has some winter damage like the boxwood does. So is that, did that explain this handout? First column, preferred when dormant. There's a column on blooming after blooming. If you're not sure, this is for flower production. It's not going to hurt the plant when you prune it, but any time it blooms after flower bloom is a good time to prune. Just understand that they have different genetic shapes and forms, whether it be a V shape, horizontal weeping, that would to me would be like a old-fashioned spirea, some vertical ovals, low spreading. We have this publication at the extension office if you don't have one. There's the handout I talked about. Steps as far as what are we looking for? Obviously, if you have anything that looks unusual, you may not know what diseases look like or insects, but if it looks different, it's usually not over the whole plant. So if you have a section of the plant that looks a little different than the rest of it, that might be an indicator that maybe that could be removed, not necessarily meaning that it is damaged, but that might be an indicator. Oftentimes we get some growth spurts in some plants that aren't uniform, and so those can be controlled at any time of the year. But typically, you know, if we're doing some pruning, we kind of gauge it around the flowers just to enjoy the flower production. This list may be more for this Johnson County Master Gardener publication that they gave on timing of when to prune. Bloom on previous year's growth. So that means that late summer they're setting their flower buds, and if you prune any time, you're just reducing the flower show for the next spring. I don't think I listed on here. There's some what I kind of refer to as sub-shrubs. So they're kind of a woody plant. They don't freeze back necessarily to the ground like a herbaceous plant would, but they oftentimes have some damage through the winter season. Everybody have butterfly bush? You know, grows all different kinds now, all kinds of genetics there, but let's say it gets this size. Well, with the weather we've had, it's probably froze back, and you're going to prune it pretty low to the ground. You can wait and see. Just prune out anything that's dead. But it routinely dies back. And to me, that's what we can be called a sub-shrub. So you just understand that you're probably going to prune that back every season. Blooms on new growth, so you're not removing flowers. So Caryopsis, blue mist spirea is another one. The pink spireas, now everybody, who has a pink spirea? Everyone in town has a pink spirea. If you don't, then you're missing out. But it's going to freeze back and not bloom very. It'll be straggly looking. And so we typically just prune that back 3 or 4 inches from the ground each year and let it flush and come back up. You can, for a long time, you could just prune out the dead and you end up with a boxwood that one side's alive and the half of it looks nasty. So if we just prune it off at kind of a few inches from the ground, it comes back and looks fuller. Questions on any of that? Yeah.
On my butterfly bush, when I prune it back, it looks like there's like dead, like into the ground. Do you try and pull those out or just leave it and let it?
So sometimes you may have a dead stem that died all the way. Yeah. I mean, anything dead you can remove.
It wouldn't kill the whole plant.
As long as you have another green part that's alive, though, cutting out the dead's not going
to... Does it hurt to leave it? If you just cut it down?
Not. It doesn't really hurt any of these to have some dead stems in there. at some point when you're trying to prune again and those stems are in the way, then you're going to have to move them out. Question?
A sumac. Our house was built like 2014, so this sumac is getting on 10 years old. It's pretty good size. Is it okay to take it down to a smaller size? Because it starts touching the house. And...
Yeah, you can... You can reduce the size of these plants. After 3 or 4 years of doing that, you may get frustrated and say, I just need a plant that's smaller and not have to deal with this. That's all going to be personal preferences. Sumac is a, there's a lot of plants in that family. Is it like a tiger eye or a fragrant tiger eye? Okay. You know, a lot of those have offshoots of them. They kind of sucker, if you will. And so, you know, you can remove a whole stem as long as there's another stem over here to help keep the plant going.
You can kind of turn that year round? Or...
You can prune any of these plants anytime.
You see it heading towards the house, you can...
Yep. Yep.
You're trying to keep your
front brushing
against the house.
Sure. Yep. Yep. Just cut it all the way to the ground, as long as you have another stem over here that supports it. So the only, I need to thank Dennis Patton, our horticulture agent in Johnson County. That one handout comes from his office. This is basically his PowerPoint with some modifications. And he had a, had up here, do not prune any shrub during late summer. To me, I just like caution. You may get, when we prune, that stimulates the hormones for the plant to regenerate what it lost. And so if you prune in late summer, you get some new growth that's not necessarily mature enough. When we have a frost, you may, that tissue may die, and then so then you have kind of a straggly looking bush. Just that new tissue died, not the whole plant. And so you may have to go back and re-prune out the dead. So this is just to save you a little bit of work maybe down the road if we have some cold temperatures that that plant wasn't quite prepared for. So kind of a step-by-step on our pruning. First thing we're looking at is dead, broken, disease, crossing branches, if you will. So this is a butternut hickory. I picked it because it has orange, kind of orange buds. I don't know if you can see that. But we have a crossing branch here, you know, over time as that gets bigger and bigger, that's probably not desired. And so at some point we would go and prune that out. The smaller the wound, the better for the plant. Heals over, excuse me, seals over quicker. So if you see it at this point, we probably want to go in here and prune that out and therefore prevent that competition, the rubbing that will occur down the road, and just a decision to make. So crossing broken branches. Branches should be removed at their point of origin. I tried to prune back to, so on some larger woody plant tissue, we have what's called the branch collar. Charlie Barden says everybody has an example of this on your body. So if you have a hand out here, there's kind of a, this knuckle is kind of swollen, and we want to prune right outside that knuckle. So that's making a smaller wound. Should be kind of circular so it can seal over quickly. We used to, I don't know what history we want to say, but flush cut. And that would make a larger wound, which would take larger for that to seal over, giving opportunity for a disease or an insect or something to get in there. I just prune that off. That plant now is responding by drying out, so those cells are dying and therefore becoming much harder for some insect or disease to get in there. So technically it can, but rarely does it. Who's pruned? How many diseases have entered in your plant because you might have pruned a little bit wrong? So, don't worry about it. That's my point. We don't technically want to leave a stub because that does not seal over, doesn't look real good, may or may not create an issue for environmental stress. But so here's a stub. You say you don't want to be able to hang your hat on it. That's too large. Want to prune back here, kind of drew a line where that should be pruned back so that can seal over. So if you can hang your hat on your cut, then that's not good, I guess. Unless you need some place to put your hat for a moment. So this is an example of rubbing and crossing over. And so the same plant, two different angles. I was hoping to be able to show it. So this branch is growing back into the center. Typically, we're trying to prune to open up the plant for more sunlight, more air circulation. And so anything going back in is probably something we could consider removing. A larger branch, we use a three-step cut. So your first one's an underneath cut out here, whatever weight that you're comfortable with, weight of the stem. And so the second one is cuts the whole branch off. What this is doing is preventing tearing of the bark. And so that takes all the weight off of it, and so you can make your final cut at that branch collar so it can seal over next to the main trunk, if you will. So what we all do is just say, hey, I can handle it, and I'll just cut it here, and then it rips a little bit, and we go, darn, we should have cut it three times. Been there, done that. Who hasn't done that? All right. So again, we're trying to make a small wound. We want it to seal over just for a healthy response from the plant. And so we have the different examples: too close, too far out, too flat, correct. Something pretty parallel to whatever bud, the way it's facing. You know, typically we're wanting it to go towards the outside of the plant unless you have a dead spot in the middle. Can have the stem grow back in, but typically that's what we're trying to do. And I tried to do an example up here on making that cut. Everybody's done this. No problems. Doyle?
Okay. I've noticed when you've been pruning or that, do it at an angle.
Yeah.
Okay.
This seals over better than, let's say, a flat one. So this may have a little dieback and not really seal over compared to that. Who has a yellow wood tree? Yellow wood? So this is mine from last year. We had the quick frost, and this spring I had tons of dieback in it. And so I pruned out all the dead, hoping for new stems to fill back in. But we have some fruiting structure of decay in that tree, so I need to go in there and do some more pruning. What we had this year? Quick frost, some really low temperatures, so we'll see what kind of plant injury we've had. This yellow wood's supposed to be hardy and all that, but quick temperatures is a big challenge for plants to move the water out of the cells. The water's still in the cell, freezes, erupts, kills the cell. Kills the tissue. So if you see some things like this, you know, you can take your fingernail and scrape and see where the live tissue is, where the dead tissue is, prune out the dead. And or what I did, I just waited till spring and started to see the growth and was able to identify dead areas. Some of our shrubs do this and kind of sucker and colonize, and so that wasn't my original plan to have a whole colony right there. And that takes maybe a different tool, something called a shovel, that you have to go in and separate and get rid of those extra stems and tissues if you don't want them. You can cut them off to the ground, but they seem to keep coming back and back. So if you have a crab apple tree, it's grafted. Typically the rootstock tries to send up tissue, and so you just have to keep removing those. There is some product that you can treat the stems with. I've never used it. Do you carry something?
Yeah, I can grab it.
So you can try it, see if it helps you reduce the amount of pruning you have to do. So there is an option there, but this is typically what we want to see. Of course, this is a big old tree, but there was a branch there, and there was a branch up there, and that's sealed over, and that's what we'd like to see from our pruning wounds, year one, two, three down. What is
pruning sealer and pruning paint, depending on what you're doing. Some research doesn't suggest this stuff, but there are some situations where people really want to paint it on after they've cut it off, so we have it available just in case.
Does that have any of the hormone to suppress growth, regrowth?
Not with this product, but we do have a different product that can grab that suppresses, like, some of the older crab apple varieties that have a lot of berries that drop. There is a product that you can apply early spring to try to suppress the fruit, and you have to do it early spring each year. But it's not related to pruning. It's more just about suppressing the fruit.
There has been a product called Sucker Stopper to try and prevent, slow this down. It's a hormone that you put on there. That's just to reduce the amount of work you have to do. Favorite plant? Who has a viburnum in their yard? Everybody should have one or five. Different ones. That is a viburnum that suckers like crazy. I guess I wouldn't encourage that one unless you like that exercise. But we have plants that either have alternating buds, so there's one here, and then there's one up here, and there's one up here, and one up here. Or you have plants that are opposite buds. And anybody know what the third one is? No buds? What? I thought it,
world,
okay. Typically are kind of our pine trees, you know, there's branches coming out all over the world. But so if you got double, they're coming off, you know, you got two there. I typically, because I want my plant to grow one way, I'll either rub that one off or I'll cut it off. Otherwise, you got two branches forming, if you want that or not. But if it's just an alternating bud, you can just prune it to the direction you want at the right angle, if you will, about a quarter of an inch above, so that can seal over and not dry out if it's too close.
Greg, you mentioned Sucker Stopper. We do have those products.
Okay.
So when you get like a lot of growth at the bottom of a crab apple, you spray Sucker Stopper on there. We carry it in different brands. It's either a squirt bottle or a brush top. So it's called Sucker Punch or Sucker Stopper. And it helps suppress that so that you hopefully don't have to prune it down quite as often. And then the Floral Brand Growth Regulator was the one for all the fruit that comes off of crab apples that you have to do once a year early in the spring.
Sucker Punch.
I got a question about that Sucker Stopper. When should you put it on there? As soon as you prune it, or wait till it starts to leak back out of it?
You want to do a fresh cut and spray it on, and then if you start to see them come back, you have to do it again, but it'll slow it down coming right back after you've cut it down.
I like the Sucker Punch because it'll probably get back up and you'll have to punch it some more. Sucker Stopper, that's probably pushing it. Yeah, it's not going to stop nothing, but it can slow it down. So just wanted to be aware that that's out there. All right, thinning or renewing pruning. Opens up the center of the shrub for sunlight, encourages our new plant branch growth and increased leaf production. Easier to do when it's dormant so you can see what you're doing. Least conspicuous of all pruning. So it's like a good haircut. You do it. Can't really tell what's been done. But this is where I say you need one of these, because that you're at the ground level and you're going to be laying on the ground probably trying to prune these out. They're close together, so you may need a saw that has a thin blade so you can get in there, cut them off. If it's a blooming plant, you're going to get new growth. Younger stems are going to bloom better than old, worn out, tired, fat, hard to prune out branches. Dogwood. Go in there, prune out a quarter, a third of the bigger stems so you get that new growth. For dogwood, why do you grow dogwood?
Winter color.
Color. And the older the stem gets, the darker brown it gets to the point, well, it's not as attractive probably as what you want for your landscape. So you need to kind of renew it. And the most inconspicuous is to prune out some of the older ones each season. You can do that in November. Cut out those stems, stick it in your flower pot that has no flowers in it. Decoration, it's red, November, December, Christmas time, red. Multi-use of your stems. Once Christmas is over, you can take your stems, put them in the compost pile, provide them breakdown for organic matter to incorporate back into your soil. So kind of a drawing example of that, just removing stems some each year. By year four, you're kind of back to year one. They're all the same, but it looks, you have renewed stems each year. How many of you prune your shrubs every year? Yeah. You know, this is great. Love loppers, but the stems are usually too close in there to be able to do that. But if you can, quick. Again, we're moving about a quarter, a third of the older branches each year to the ground. So we're not up here, we're down here doing that pruning. So again, you're kind of laying on your belly probably. Depends on your flexibility. Single stem shrub like an Athea or something, Rose of Sharon, you know, you can do some reducing of tissue there to get new growth. It's going to have more flower production. Just not working at the ground level per se. So if your plant may be getting too tall or you just want to open it up for, again, sunlight production, more sun, more flowers, if it's a flowering shrub. And so we need to open that up for light penetration in there. And you go always pruning back to a growing point, if you will, whether it be a bud or a branch, although there are some plants have those hidden buds in there that will sprout as needed. Kind of a good example. If you're just taking the shear off the top, you get lots of branching. It becomes really thick in there. Obviously, on the bottom side, there's no sunlight penetration, so you're getting bare areas. That's just the habit of the plant. If you like that situation, then that's just what's going to have. Yes?
How do you fix that if it's been done to plants of your property already? Is there a way to...
Depending on the plant, but most species, we can do what's called rejuvenating pruning, and there'll be some pictures of that. But basically, you're going to drop down past all that branching and remove it. So we're going to cut down here. There'll be some pictures of rejuvenating plants. So basically what you're doing is cutting all the stems off to 4, 5, 3 inches, whatever you feel like you can do. You're not going to have flowers for at least a year, maybe a couple years. but you're going to get a lot of branching, so next time you're going to have to come in here and do some thinning of those branches like we've talked about, because you're going to have an overabundance, you know. So here all the branching's at the top, which is shading out your plant, so it's hard to have any interior. And so now we just went ahead and took all that pruning down to this level. So now you have all that regrowth down here. So you're going to have to go in there on your belly and remove some of those stems in time, because it'll be just so thick in there. If you want to use a handsaw, you can, but mostly this is chainsaw pruning right there. So this is what I did on my spirea a few years ago. So I did the rejuvenation, if you will. So you can see all the stems down. Maybe you can see the stems where the double branching occurred. And that's what it looks like today, instead of being a little bit humongous. So that's just the example of the rejuvenation process. So theoretically, I should come in here and remove some of those stems. Probably going to need something like this, because there's going to be a lot of them in there. Yes?
Greg, we have some boxwoods that are about 25 years old or older, and they're looking a little long in the tooth. They're healthy looking, but they're just looking kind of old. Can you rejuvenate a boxwood or any plant of that age, or does there come a time when they just...
That's a great question on, you know, as a shrub gets older, it's probably going to be less vigorous. I don't know if anybody's experienced that in their personal life. So at some point, you may want to just start over, pull it out, put in either the same thing or something different that you would like to do.
Or not to, but if we could cut them down.
So yes, my point about being vigorous, yeah, the older it is, on most species, you can cut them off and they'll come back.
Even a boxwood?
Boxwood does have,
boxwood
can. It's just the response time is kind of a slower recovery than a younger plant. So depending on what you care, you know, if it's your front door that everybody comes and looks at or can see, and it takes you 3 years for it to recover, maybe not the best choice, but each can make that decision.
What's the best tool to use for trimming the boxwood? Just kind of... Are you going to use a hedge trimmer and do a haircut, or do you go in and do individual?
So I got some green velvet boxwoods from a local nursery. Wonderful plant, you know, the book, 3 to 4 feet. That would be perfect. Below my porch, you know, I can see over the porch. Well, after 20 years, they didn't read the book. Too vigorous of plants from a local nursery. So, yeah, you could try and shear them, but I went in there and reduced the height of the boxwood. Turned on the radio, enjoyed the ball game. For the most part, enjoyed the game. And spent some time reducing the height of that. Boxwood has those latent buds, so it will leaf back out. You can see what I've done. I did it last summer. So evergreens kind of have a flush of growth in the springtime. Does everybody kind of agree with that? Depending on temperature and moisture, but they kind of... And so I tried to do it right before that, so it would have its big a flush to fill back in. But you can still see where I reduced the height and thinned it out that I needed to, because it was too large. It's at my front door. Luckily, nobody comes and visits me, so it's not a big deal. Just for me to look at. But, you know, that plant-wise attractiveness is... subjective, but probably even evergreens, that this hand pruning, just make sure, mark off enough time to enjoy nice weather and prune that out. Now you can take a these type of shears. I use this for cutting off perennials. That's the only thing, end of the year, go around. But you can use these to prune boxwoods if you need to. You know. Who's done that on boxwood? So you're cutting leaf tissue and it's going to seal over and it's going to be little brown edges everywhere. If you can live with it, this is faster. Probably doesn't really hurt the plant, but just what your outcome you're looking for.
Andrew? With boxwoods, if you're pruning for shape, you can use shears. If you're just trying to get some of the long ends off and tighten it up a little bit, you can shear it. But if you're going for size, you're definitely going to go in with your hand pruners and cut them back.
Pines, you can reduce those new growth candles if you want to. Who's done that? Barbara has? Good. You know, Mugo pine is maybe the one that you kind of do that. There should be a genetic one that's just, they used to say dwarf Mugo pines. That just means they grew slower. They'd still get humongous. But I think they do have some genetic ones now that just don't get that big. But you're removing that new growth, whether it be a half or a third, just going to make the plant bushier, smaller on a conifer. Sometimes you can just snap those out. It will be gooey. So your gloves, whatever I did with those, you're going to have throw them away when you're done or enjoy the resin that's there. Junipers, so they will have a dead zone in there that no latent buds. So if you prune past where there's a little bit of green, it's dead. So it just won't fill back in. So if you're just trying to make it smaller, then again, you just prune it back to a growing point. Again, all these evergreens kind of have a spring flush, so I like to do it right before that, so that maybe that new, you can't see where you've pruned as well. Taxus or yews, they do have latent buds, so you can prune back and they should flush back out, kind of like the boxwood. But otherwise, you're just thinning it back, pruning it back if you need to. So just going back to another growing point. Again, flush of growth in the springtime, so do it right before if you want to or afterwards. It's just your exposed pruning wounds will be there. So there's taxus. So there's some, you know, you pruned it back, it's going to sprout some new growth in there. Depending on the age of that plant, again, you know, I did my parents once, and they had pretty old taxus, and it looked like I pruned it for like 2 years. You could just tell that somebody pruned it properly. Just a couple more slides. This is just talking about seed pods. So you may want to remove those so that the energy goes into your plant. Whorling buds like that. You can, if you want one stem, you can just rub those out. Again, it's just depending on what you're wanting that plant to do, if you want it to be bushy or not. Rhododendrons, they kind of have, they're not whorled buds. This is considered, for, rhododendron's not whorled, but they're so close together, the impact is the same. And just removing that flower once it's done, just so that the plant get light energy back into it for flower production. I think I don't really want to go into hydrangeas. There's a few that grow here. A lot of them struggle. The ones that struggle usually bloom on last year's growth. Freezes in the wintertime, and so you have an evergreen or a green plant with no flowers. Now, the Endless Summer was the first genetic one that could bloom on some new growth. It's very, I would say, environmentally dependent where it's located on how well those do. But the point is, you grow these for the flowers. Many of them get frosted out, but some of them will produce flower buds during the growing season and have you a summer bloom. And that's all I want to say about hydrangeas. Roses, I still love them. We still got issues, whether it be rose. Just lost it, Andrew. Rose rosette, thank you. Which you just have to yank the plant out. You can't prune it out, so you yank the plant out. It's caused by an insect mite, if you will. So just occasionally they flare up and you have problems. Not in the ground, so you could replant back in there if you wanted. And now the Japanese beetles seem to going to be in cycles, but they like to feed on them heavily. But just pruning out. A lot of them bloom on current season growth nowadays. The old-fashioned ones were had the flower buds in the fall and bloomed in the spring, and that was it. So if you pruned in the spring, removed the flower buds. But most of them bloom on new growth. So you just need to shape it up if you need to, or go in after the Japanese beetles have done their thing. I think that's basically my presentation. What did I miss that might be beneficial? So to prevent soreness, you need to get your blood flowing. So you need to kind of, however that, for 5 minutes, jog in place, get your blood circulating through your system, and then go out and do some pruning so you're not as sore. Any type of gardening exercise, so you're not as sore the next day, unless you have stock in Tylenol or whatever. Thank you for your time. Go K-State, go Chiefs, go home, go prune.